702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilo Mpakanyane.
Let's walk the talk.
Now, we are taking a look at in our conversation with clinical psychologist Khosi Giane, and our focus on wellness. We're taking a look at the challenges of committing when you've got plenty of options, right? And it's often a difficult task or difficult ask for a lot of people. And Khosi is going to help us unpack all of this. Khosi, good morning. Thank you so much for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for feeling.
So, Khosi, you know, the genesis of our conversation this morning is a video that we found on online. It was actually an American commencement speech. And this young man lays out, you know, how often, because we have all these choices, we celebrate the fact that we have all these choices when it comes to programming. But you, what you'll do is you'll switch on Netflix, you'll fall down a rabbit hole of just trying to select and decide what to watch. And half an hour later, you're demotivated and just hurtful, quite frankly. And you just switch off the TV because you can't actually decide. But well, let's move it over then to relationships and the inability for or the difficulty for so many people in our contemporary times to commit and settle into long-term relationships, because, you know, you can just swipe left or swipe right.
Sure. So it is the perennial question, right? When faced with temptation, which path do you choose? You know, and there's that expression that talks about the pain of resisting, you know, temptation, and the flip side of it being the pain of succumbing to temptation. So we are always at that knife edge of that choice point as human beings. And if we think about relationships, you know, as you say, let's cross over and look at this question of commitment. I think as a society, we've created an archetype of commitment, you know, and marriage.
Absolutely.
That archetype that everybody can relate to. And within marriage, and if you think about a wedding as a ceremonial, you know, expression of that and declaration of commitment. And you hear, you know, it just is about the beholdenness. And it is about the regardlessness of things. It's about the unconditionality of things, right? And and it's interesting if you listen to or unpack, you know, marriage vows. They talk firstly to the depth of this commitment, right? Of this declaration. In that, you know, there's all these things that a person is declaring to forsake. You know, first of all others, right?
Oh,
in a sea of billions, 7 billion people or so, I choose you as the one and only.
It's so romantic, Khosi. Why are you laying in bed like this and making it sound like an awful proposition?
Well, that's what it is, right? Because that's it. You're actually stripping yourself away from the options of life. The first option being all others, and second, the second option tied to that being all else that comes with all others, because all others can bring me the all else-ness, and I'm saying I'm choosing you.
Yeah.
In a sea of all endless possibilities. So that's just the depth of it. But there's also equally the breadth of it, which talks about in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse. Right? And as you say, in all of that, I am inserting immutability in a world of mutable options. And I'm saying, and I'm declaring a longevity to it. And I'm saying, until the inevitable separation by death, nothing else. Yeah. How brave.
You're so dramatic, Khosi. Are you subtweeting us right now?
Woo, my goodness. Right. Not for the faint-hearted, let us say.
So do you think then in a world where, of course, technology exists and has opened up, you know, possibilities and horizons like never before, where culture has evolved and changed, where you don't beg a zela or stay put because this is not what our family does, or or this is not what to do.
Boundaries, Because this commitment says there are very fixed boundaries, right? And if you think about, you know, where these kind of vows and so on came from, they come from an era of humanity, when things were fixed, right? We lived in a world that was very circumscribed. Mm-hmm. It took effort to actually know that there were people on the other side of that river, of that mountain, of that ocean, and so on, right? So our world was very much circumscribed. And I think in a sense, I would like to believe, being the current day human being, that the world was so different then.
Mm-hmm.
And that perhaps, sure, there's a reason why they had to have vows even then. It is saying even then, right, there was option. But we are now being thrust in a world where we literally have the world in the palm of our hands.
Mm.
I mean, think about Tinder. You can meet someone who is in a world you've never even heard of. There's so many new permutations of possibility. So commitment is so much harder for present-day human beings.
And it's, you know, is it then understandable that, you know, obviously people are getting married later and later on in life, but is it understandable and perfectly, you know, perfectly normal that, of course, commitment would be difficult for, you know, this current generation or this generation of young people or younger people coming up?
Sure, absolutely. Because, you know, the social script, we talk about social evolution, right? Not just biological evolution, but social evolution that says, you know, we have calibrated our lives around minimalism in a sense, because that's what commitment is about. It is saying, okay, I'm going to minimize my choice to this one. And it is, I mean, if we go back to that clip, you know, that you were talking about, it is about saying, I'm going to invest in one. I'm going to give it's like I'm going to invest all my time in this one thing. And we say, so it's kind of being like a specialist doctor, right? As opposed to being a GP who can have a finger in every little pie type of thing.
Sure.
And it's interesting because on some level, if we think about it, it goes against the grain of saying, you know, maximize gain, benefit, and pleasure.
Mm.
Right? So it is about self-sacrifice. And, yeah.
Hmm.
So my one question, though, and it's a question I've asked over the years about relationships and as you say, marriage being the archetype of commitment, is, are all human beings wired the same way?
Mm-hmm.
So is that inclination towards commitment, or is the inclination, the natural inclination to choice?
And, you know, that opens up a really interesting aspect of the conversation, right? So if the natural inclination is to choice, what does that look like? Because obviously, as human beings, we crave connection. We do crave intimacy. And that when we're talking connection and intimacy in through the framework of choice, does that mean that I'm clear with, you know, prospective partners that, hey, listen, I like you for now. Hey, listen, I'm with you for tonight, or I'm with you for this season. But don't be surprised if in 3 months' time I'm no longer interested. Or, hey, listen, I'm with you and her and him and them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the questions, to be or not to be. Because on the one hand, if we think about the script of commitment, right, it says, and society has said to us, at a certain age, you need to make a commitment, right? And you're saying, okay, at this point in time, I'm making a choice that ties this course, of the now, who is 25 years of age. It speaks to even the Kosi who's going to be 65. You don't even know that Kosi is 65.
Mm.
And yet you're locking her in a choice point that is made by a 25-year-old. So who is the 25-year-old to speak for the 65-year-old that she's never met?
You've obviously seen and heard things in those consultation rooms of yours, Kosi, so I can't argue... I can't argue with that point, right? But surely there's something to be said from or gained from commitment, and deciding on a partner and deciding to embark on that lifelong partnership that you're talking about. And what can that be? What can those benefits be? And what are people looking for in commitment? Is it stability? Is it knowing
the security? The security. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're talking about belonging, the longing to belong, and the security of having that belonging.
Sure.
It is saying there's psychological safety and emotional safety in knowing and predictability and longevity.
Mm.
Right? It says psychologically and emotionally, I can relax. I am assured of the presence of.
Mm.
And therefore it keeps me safe. But then if we think about the opposite, it is saying I may be flung in unpredictability, in novelty, in transience. And do I have tolerance for navigating those waves that come with that?
Mm. And because, you know, that tolerance speaks to, you know, obviously when you're dating, there's that novelty that you're speaking about. There's the fun of meeting someone or falling in love and all the butterflies. But, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking about constantly meeting, assessing, getting to know someone. You also, you know, allowing yourself to be known. And it's almost a constant sort of introduction and presenting. Here I am. This is what, this is who I am. And, you
here's
know,
my
I can,
CV.
Here's my CV, essentially. And the dating streets are also rough, quite frankly. I remember a friend who was getting along with someone quite nicely. And, you know, I was on the outside in, from the outside looking in. I thought everything was going along swimmingly. And then it occurs to her to check to see if he has a girlfriend. And I couldn't imagine why she needed to check, because he was always with her and it would seem as though they were inseparable. And she said, well, I just haven't done it yet. And you know how it is in Joburg. And I was like, what is it like in Joburg? And of course, she did inquire. And it wasn't like 6 degrees of separation or even, you know, further degrees of separation. It was 1 degree of separation where this person had orechte and everybody knew her. And we were so confused about how this could, you know... how this could even happen.
I mean, I'm thinking the picture that, the image that comes to mind is, do we go for a buffet or do we go for a well-simmered meal that has been simmering over 24 hours and so on, right? It's got that richness of, you know, like that barrel of wine that's been sitting there, or whiskey or whatever that's been sitting there over the years, your 18-year-olds and whatever. You know, there is all that that comes with that. But there's also the buffet that says, wow, life is about sampling and getting the richness of it.
Yeah. Deciding to commit or decide, you know, deciding to commit or not to commit, is something that clearly hinges a lot, I think, on, and you'll let me know if you agree, that hinges a lot on how well you know yourself, right? Because you've referenced committing at the age of 25 and you're making that decision on behalf of that 65-year-old Corsi, and maybe you're being rather brave in making this step. How many people, you know, as you've seen in your consultation rooms and had conversations with in your professional work, how many people do that have that level of introspection or self-actualization, that helps them in that way in making such a huge decision? And I guess when we're talking commitment in this instance, we are talking the ultimate, or we are talking marriage. I shouldn't say the ultimate. We're talking lifelong pairings, right?
So we're talking about old oak trees, Rufilo. We're talking about the canons of society, the canons of sociability and what it means to be a member of a community of people, right? And on the one hand, I'm tempted to say that for the most part, we follow a well-worn path of expectations. So there's a social conveyor belt that says to be human is, there's all these developmental milestones, and at some point society expects of you to make a certain choice that moves along this predictable path that says you're going to have 2.5 children and picket fence and this package. And it goes merrily down the path towards our ultimate demise. And we are this pair that lives happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the script, the primordial script, if we call it that.
Sure.
But we're also saying, you know, humanity has shown us, and the world itself is the consultation room beyond my own little space. Because if we look at society, and if we look at society over the generations, how real has this been?
Yeah.
How sustainable is this model of being? Right? And I'm one who regards myself as an eternal optimist.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also persuaded by the reality that human beings evolve.
Okay.
And what the facts have shown us, or the stats have shown us, is that people are much more mutable than we would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And hence the need for us to put up those fences that say, you've made this choice, you have to stick with it. Because otherwise, why would we do that?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I'm just looking at some research material, some work that's been, or research that's been done in the States, a Pew Research study finding that roughly 42% of citizens there did not have a spouse or a partner as of 2017, down 3% from 2007. And I wonder if, because of all these changes in society, in technology, and conventions, does commitment look different? Is it not that people aren't committing at all, or people are indecisive, or people are frivolous and want to, you know, as you say, sample everything. But that commitment looks different. It doesn't necessarily mean a ring on the finger. It's what two individuals or many individuals decide between themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting. If I think back to the first time I traveled to Sweden, which was in 2007, and I came across a concept which is very well entrenched within that community. And the concepts, in relational concepts of serbo and sambo,
mm-hmm.
right? So sambo is similar to the Afrikaans word, sambo, building together. So that is the traditional type of relationship where people live together in mm-hmm. a committed relationship. But there's also serbo, which is separate but together. And there are people who have been in serbo for the longest time, and it's a normal part of that society, which says, you have your own, I have my own, but we have a relationship, and we are committed to, you know, making it work. But we're also doing it from different spaces. You have your space, I have mine, I come to yours. We make all these arrangements. We are flexible in it, but we have an understanding that we want what we have.
Mm.
But it's a different permutation nevertheless.
Fascinating stuff. Kosi, thank you so much for bringing us a rather interesting conversation this morning.